I have no doubt of it. Well, I received back in the 60s, I sent away from my Freedom of Information file, and you know, hundreds of pages of evidence that the FBI had spied on my activities when I was in the South in the civil rights movement. I had spied on my activities in the movement against the war in Vietnam. Hundreds of pages.
According to the documents, the FBI kept track of Zinn even further back than that. It began while he was working at the American Labor Party headquarters in Brooklyn in the 1940s, and continued when he was an undergraduate student on the GI Bill at Washington Square College of New York University in 1950. A 1957 FBI document indicates that during those McCarthy-era years in New York, up to 16 informants claimed as early as 1947 that Zinn was associated with the Communist Party and what they considered communist front groups. Their first major report summary in March 1949 noted that the FBI verified Zinn's home address by asking the subject's sister, Doris Zinn, under a suitable pretext. But the editor of the Progressive magazine, Matthew Rothschild, confirmed through Howard Zinn's daughter that the FBI was wrong. Zinn did not have a sister.
Yeah, his daughter is Myla Cabot-Zinn, and she said that Howard Zinn never had a sister, much less a sister named Doris. And so if that's the accuracy of the information in the files, she said she can't really think that there's much to these files. She can't rely on anything in there and didn't think anyone else should.
In the early 1950s, Zinn was stopped on the streets of New York on two different occasions by the same two FBI assets and asked about his connections with the Communist Party. Zinn admitted association with what the FBI considers communist fronts, but he denied membership in the party. He said he would not give information about others or use violence to overthrow the government. According to the documents, those two factors seem to have played a role in the FBI deciding in 1955 that Zinn was not of much interest. The security index card on Howard Zinn was canceled. But then in 1956, Zinn took a job at Spelman College in Atlanta, a historically black women's college. The Atlanta office of the FBI became interested in Zinn, and in 1957, the FBI director authorized the Atlanta division to conduct a security investigation of Howard Zinn in accordance with a manual governing individuals holding academic positions in an institution of learning. Again, Matthew Rothschild.
Well, it's clear that Zinn caught the attention of the FBI when he was at Atlanta at Spelman College because he was criticizing the FBI itself. He had criticized the FBI in a report he did on civil rights down there and how the FBI wasn't protecting anyone who was advocating peacefully for civil rights and that they just weren't doing their job. And that got the FBI's attention when the report surfaced in a New York newspaper. And then also there was an indication that Martin Luther King Jr. had read what Zinn had reported and agreed to it. And so in one of the more chilling passages in the file, the FBI agent says, "We should send two people down there to straighten Martin Luther King out."
The renewed interest by the FBI in Atlanta coincides with a source claiming to have a photo of Zinn that allegedly shows him teaching a seminar on Marxism in 1951. This, despite the New York office essentially closing its case on Zinn 2 years earlier. But now there are references in the Atlanta documents claiming Zinn is an actual communist, even though the New York documents claimed he was just associated with front groups. In 1962, Zinn wrote an article about how the FBI was failing African Americans in the South. The FBI director wrote on a clipping of the New York Post article, "What do we know of Zinn?"
Yeah, it's amazing that the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation would be following so closely the writing of a particular dissident in the United States. It shows how obsessed and paranoid J. Edgar Hoover was and how he was trampling on people's basic First Amendment rights, the right to dissent. And again, it makes me feel uncomfortable that with Homeland Security and with the CIA and the FBI and the NSA and all these other agencies that are peering into our lives, and given how much easier it is for them to peer into our lives than it was back when Howard Zinn was being followed by the FBI, it gives me pause.
The FBI tracked Zinn's newspaper articles as well as his travel within the U.S. and outside the country. In our 2006 interview, Zinn seemed incredulous that the FBI would spy on such mundane behavior of American citizens.
What you learn when you send away for your FBI files under the Freedom of Information Act is you learn that they are recording the most innocuous, the most harmless kinds of activities, you know. Oh, he made a speech here. Oh, he wrote this article.